From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the life of Abraham as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Pictures of Grace in Operation. In the 20th chapter of Genesis, for the second time, Abraham lies about Sarah being his wife and nearly brings disaster upon the kingdom of Abimelech. In the first picture, we see grace maintaining God's purpose in spite of every attack upon it. In seeking to thwart God's redemptive purpose, Satan tried over and over again to destroy the promised seed. By his faithless actions, Abraham placed Sarah in the dangerous position of being taken into Abimelech's harem. In his sovereign mercy, the Lord intervened and delivered his servants. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Set Apart. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 6. Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. This literal promise to Israel belongs spiritually to the seed after the Spirit, namely, to all believers. If we live up to our privileges, we shall live unto God so clearly and distinctly that men shall see that we are set apart for holy service and shall name us the priests of the Lord. We may work or trade as others do, and yet we may be solely and wholly the ministering servants of God. Our one occupation shall be to present the perpetual sacrifice of prayer and praise and testimony and self-consecration to the living God by Jesus Christ. This being our one aim, we may leave distracting concerns to those who have no higher calling. Let the dead bury their dead. It is written, Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. They may manage politics, puzzle out financial problems, discuss science, and settle the last new quibbles of criticism. But we will give ourselves unto such service as becomes those who, like the Lord Jesus, are ordained to a perpetual priesthood. Accepting this honorable promise as involving a sacred duty, let us put on the vestments of holiness and minister before the Lord all day long. listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest, as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. Once again, that's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. And in this connection, we'd like to call your attention to an especially new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there apostles in the church today? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
As I look at this chapter, it is a chapter that gives me three beautiful pictures of grace in operation. First of all, there is grace maintaining God's gospel purpose and promise against every attack upon it. The timing of the events of this chapter is absolutely crucial. The Lord had just announced that within the year, Sarah would bear a son to Abraham. This long-promised seed, this special son, in whom the entire purpose of God for Abraham and then later for the nation of Israel and then for the whole world, in and through this son whom Sarah would bear to Abraham, the whole purpose of God for the blessing of the world was to flow. That's how important the birth of Isaac was. And the devil knew it. If you take your Bible, you can start right at the book of Genesis and go through to the book of the Revelation. And you will see how time and time and time again, Satan sought to short-circuit the purpose of God for the redemption of sinners, the redemption of the world, by his attack upon the promised seed. And this was a critical part of it. But God intervened, not through the power of Abraham, not through armies of men. There was no human hand to help here. God intervened by pure, sovereign, omnipotent grace. And he stopped the diabolical plot to thwart redemption's plan, brought Sarah out, and as we'll see as we proceed with their story, produced the promised seed. It's a story that we read over and over again in the Bible. The individual circumstances of the particular events may be different, but the central storyline is the same. What was happening when, in the book of Exodus, for example, we read there arose a king in Egypt who knew not Joseph, and he started on an attempt to blot out all the male children of Israel. What was happening? Nothing but a satanic attempt to wipe out the very possibility of the promised seed. That's what was happening. But God overruled. What was happening when Herod, having heard from the wise men of the East of the birth of the King of the Jews, sent forth his butchers to mow down every little child of 2 years and under that they could get their filthy hands upon? What was happening? It was another satanic attempt upon the promised seed to wipe out the seed of the Redeemer, and therefore wipe out redemption. What happened when the Lord Jesus Christ first appeared in Nazareth? And his own townsmen took him at the very beginning of his public ministry, according to Luke chapter 4, to the edge of a precipice, to the edge of a great drop, intending to push him to his death. A satanic attempt to thwart the plan of redemption by an attack on the promised seed. Again and again through the Gospels we read that the Jews sought to lay hands on him. To do what? To murder him. But they could not, for his hour was not yet come. I believe that that's what was happening also in the Garden of Gethsemane, when in the deep agony of that garden, the blood came like sweat through the pores of his skin. And all hell sought in one last ditch stand to keep the promised seed from going to the cross. But every time God in grace frustrated Satan, brought to naught that attack upon the seed and that attack upon the purpose of the gospel. And thank God he's doing the very same thing today. Now Satan cannot now slay Christ. He has died once and risen again forever. But the emissaries of the devil are attacking Christ. They are misrepresenting Christ. They are denying Christ. They have got into the very churches where, under the guise of uplifting Christ, they are betraying Him. Every major Protestant denomination has got these emissaries of the devil, either in most cases in complete control, or eating their way into the very heart of the churches, into the seminaries, poisoning the minds of the ministers of this generation and the generations to come, denying Christ, peddling another gospel. What are they doing? They're doing the same old, foul, filthy work of Satan, seeking to thwart the gospel of redemption. Some years ago, the apostates felt that they had their victory won. They took over the great Protestant denominations. You only got to read the history of those denominations. I could give you the history of the British end of it a lot more easily than I can the American end. So I'm not going to go into all the details of the American side. You can supply those. They are there to be seen. I'm a Presbyterian. Not by convenience, but by conviction. I have to say, when I tell Bible believers I'm a Presbyterian, they look at me like I'm a devil with two heads. And I can quite understand why, because that once great name, a name that was synonymous with standing fast for God and the gospel, a name that was synonymous with revival, no church in modern history has been more greatly blessed and used in revival than the Presbyterian churches across the world. But this great name has been dragged in the muck and the mire of compromise and betrayal and apostasy and sin. So that we have reached the stage today where if you say you're a Presbyterian, you must be a Bible denier. You must be an ungodly rascal. You cannot really be a Christian and be a Presbyterian. I understand how people have reached that position because of the wickedness that has come in and taken over these great churches. As I say, not many years ago, these apostates come in and they thought they had it all wrapped up in one. And humanly speaking, so they had. They took over the seminaries and turned them, as I indicated a week or two back, they turned the seminaries into cemeteries. You look at the great centers of learning, and what are they? They are the charnel houses of hell here on earth. And I have no apology for calling them that. I have no respect for the academic ability or for the spiritual or moral integrity of an apostate. None whatsoever. He could have PhDs to stretch from here to the moon and back. I have no respect for him. Any man that takes that book in his hand and denies it to me is just a liar. Any man that takes his oath as a Presbyterian to stand and believe that book and preach that book and then gets up and denies it and damns souls in the doing of it, to me, he's not a PhD, he's not a professor, he's nothing but a devil's servant. And that's what's happened. They thought they had it all won. When the apostates could kick or force men like Gresham Machen out of the Presbyterian Church in America and out of Princeton, they had it won. when the Baptist conventions went rotten and they forced the Bible believers to separate into small denominations, it seemed they had it won. But God. See, the apostates always leave God out of their reckoning. Always. But God, the God who overruled the folly of Abraham and of Abimelech, the God who defeated Herod, the God who brought to naught every attack upon the promised seed through history, is still standing to the defense of the purpose and promise of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has actually used the separation from apostasy to purify his church. Thank God there are Presbyterian churches now, outside the World Council of Churches, outside the World Presbyterian Alliance, outside the camp of the apostates. Thank God there are Presbyterian ministers who care more about Christ than their pension, and their stipend, and their months, and they're willing to say, I will stand up for the gospel, and across the world, God has blessed them. Thank God there are Baptists who are willing to say goodbye to the convention and take their stand outside the camp for God and say, come what may, we will preach Christ. And what has happened? As the result, tens of thousands have been saved. And across the world, millions have been saved. We sometimes forget the 20th century has seen more conversions to Christ than almost all the centuries of history put together. Never forget that. We sometimes think that here we are in the West and the whole world revolves around us, and if we're not seeing it, well, nobody's seeing it. Nonsense. There are South American countries where at least 1 million people a year have been coming out of darkness from Romanism into the light of the gospel and have lived to establish a testimony to prove it. When you have the communist Chinese government admitting that in the last 40 to 50 years there have been some 60 to 100 million Chinese come to faith in Jesus Christ, God is not finished yet. He's defending his gospel. He's doing his work. He's establishing his cause. The grace of God. What a beautiful picture. This gives me great encouragement as a preacher of the gospel that God is maintaining his purpose of redemption, and he will do so to the end of the age. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to our God. It will be preached with power. It will be preached with fruitfulness. God is doing his work. Young men today can commit themselves to the work of the ministry of the gospel in separation unto God. They can bid farewell to a big career in the world and the pats and slaps in the back of the ungodly crowd. They may bid farewell to the large financial support that they can get by pursuing another career. But if God calls them, they can give themselves to the work of preaching Christ in the assurance that our God is on the throne. He's building his church. He's producing Christians, multiplying churches. And he will never give up. He will never give up. That grace is still maintaining the purity and the purpose of redemption.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.